Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Marsha Burt-Bigler, the Washoe County Commissioner. She's on fire for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
After the elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 workers were forced to find solar installation jobs in other states. Now, we have a chance to help put Nevadans back to work. Assembly Bill 405 would send a signal that Nevada is open for business. Don't let the clock run out on solar jobs. Visit yeson405.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shand.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program, as always, the Washoe County Commissioner, Marsha Burt-Bigler. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Thanks, Sam. Nice to be here.
So as we're taping this, this is June the 5th, the last day of the session.
Hallelujah.
It should be sine die tonight by 11:59, and it seems like they've got most of the stuff out of the way. The first thing I wanted to ask you about was what appeared to be a power grab by Mayor Sheevy at the last minute here. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, actually, what she proposed is actually already in the charter for both Fernley and Sparks. And I think maybe North Las Vegas. I'm not sure about that, but I think maybe North Las Vegas also has that same language in their charter, which essentially says that the mayor is a non-voting member.
And it has veto power.
And has veto power. I take the mayor at her word when she says that she was not looking to do away with term limits for the mayor, that she didn't realize that actually would be part of that. That's actually not in the charters. That's actually in NRS, where it says that if a person, an elected official, is a non-voting member, they don't have term limits. So that's really, I don't think she really realized that was going to happen. I don't really, frankly, have a problem with that change for the city of Reno. I'm not sure it was done for the reasons that were put out there, but regardless.
What do you think the reasons were?
So that other people who were term-limited members of the former council could run for mayor.
Who specifically?
I'd just rather not go down that road, but I know two of them. I let's just say that I have my suspicions who two of them are. So,
but you throw that out and won't share the names with us. It kind of leaves everybody hanging.
Well, that's the way it goes. I think there's no question that Jessica Safraza would like to run, but she is doing financially very, very well where she's at. And so why would she give up her very good business, very powerful business, to run to be the city mayor? But I think there are some other members who, some other people who were thinking about that.
Are you saying that this end run by the mayor at the end of the session was done even partially to help her friend Jessica Farazza become mayor?
No, I'm not saying that. I think it was actually done by the mayor because the mayor has been has been confronted by one of her commission, by her council members, as to why her name is always first on the list. Because
that would be Jenny Brackus.
Yeah, the mayor is, and according to the court statement, the mayor is no different than any other member of the council. And she was trying to define that the mayor is, in fact, different. Okay. She served in both positions. She knows that the mayor is vastly different than an everyday council member. Not that the council members don't work hard. They do. They represent the city very well. But the mayor has an incredibly different position. And I really think that's what she was after. I think it's a side effect that, let's just say I'm not an Eddie Lorton person who's out there saying that they're doing this deliberately to try and skirt around the law. I think that was a side effect.
But there was a group that was put together to
there was a group.
Put a package for the legislature.
And they looked at that.
But they obviously didn't go forward with it. And then the mayor brought this up on her own account.
Yes.
With State Senator Tick Sagebloom. And now it seems like there's an open war at the Reno City Council.
There's always been an open war at the Reno City Council. Oh, I didn't say that, did I? Goodness sakes.
What, can you expand on that statement, that there's always an open war?
I sit on the commission. I don't sit on the city council. But let's just say that on average, I think that it's very difficult to get a consensus vote on anything at the city council.
All right. So what does this mean then? Going forward, we are, I've said this many times privately, I don't know about so much on the show, but we are in a position of such great strength in northern Nevada right now.
Yes, we
with
are.
All these giant companies coming in, all wanting to work with the university and the community colleges to boost training for all the workers we're going to need. Literally, it could be it will be tens of thousands of people moving to northern Nevada. And we have a good chance to mess it up if either the city council or the county commissions choose to go in that direction. And that makes me very nervous.
In what direction?
To go in the direction of being no growth, or, you know, there was a bill that Skip Daly was trying to push forward at the legislature mm-hmm. that would have totally destroyed. It would have, somebody told me in a position to know that Google would not have agreed to come if that bill had gone through. So there's definitely room for mischief
accurate.
Making.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see that with the county commission. Obviously, I don't speak for the commission unless the commission has told me to. And so I'm not doing that. But I think as a commissioner who sits on a very well functioning commission, I don't think you're going to see us argue no growth. In fact, we're going the other direction. We recognize that we have to house these people, for instance. So where are we going to put them as far as housing goes? We've got to protect them from a safety perspective. So what are we going to do about extra sheriff deputies, extra police deputies, extra fire? How are we going to handle the fire situation, especially wildland fires? And so I think that we're looking at traffic and transportation and schools and all of those issues. I think from the commission's perspective, you're not going to see any sense of no growth. We're not a no growth commission. We're a pro growth commission.
Do you feel the same way about the Reno City Council?
I don't sit on the council, so it's difficult for me to say from an internal perspective. I can tell you from an external perspective, I have some concerns about certain members.
Marcia, you know, Reno Gazette Journal investigation recently uncovered that at the jail, the death rate has spiked to five times the national average. 13 people have died in jail. And the commission chairman, Bob Lucy, said that there's a commission, you have no authority to compel the elected sheriff to take any action. But then another law was uncovered where the commissioners are supposed to inspect the jail. And really, the optics on this look terrible for the county and the commission, because it seems like you don't know the law. And my God, 13 people dying in the jail, it's a bad look for the sheriff, the commission, and the county as a whole.
Had that study been 10 years back further, you would have seen another spike 10 years back further. In fact, it happens.
Yeah, but is that an excuse for...
No, it's not an excuse. And it isn't that we didn't know we're not required to inspect the jail. All commissioners annually do a tour of the jail. The problem is telling the sheriff is an independent elected person, and telling the sheriff what he has to do in his jail is a bit like going and telling the school board what they have to do in their schools. They're independent elected officials. What we have done is this, and we did this at the meeting two meetings ago, maybe the last meeting, I don't remember which one, but I requested a monthly report from the sheriff himself to come and speak to, to give us a report on what's happening at the jail facility itself. Give us a report on everything that's going on, and then a specific side report on the group that is providing medical care and what's going on, so that we really can have a monthly overview of where we're at and what's happening.
Do you believe that this is this investigation by the Reno Gazette Journal is the reason that Chuck Allen announced that he would not run for re-election?
You know, Chuck said the reason he wasn't running is because he had a conversation with his wife and they decided that he didn't want to run. I think you can, there's probably some other things you could put out there and say Chuck isn't running because of this issue or that issue. I don't know. I don't get in Chuck's mind. And frankly, he's not really very good at working with the commission. Frankly, neither was his predecessor. So they do have a tendency to think that because they're independent electeds, they can do what they want, and that's okay. They can do that. But as long as they say, as long as it still says Washoe County Commission and we're still responsible for their budget, they do have some sense of responsibility to us to make sure that we understand what's going on over there, and they've not done a good job of that. The Sheriff Chuck really hasn't done a good job of that.
All right, let's take a break. More with Marcia Breitbigler. We'll see if we can get her to open up a little when we come back.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Washoe County Commissioner Marcia Breitbigler. What do you think of the legislative session? As we're taping this, we're taping, as I mentioned earlier, on the day that should be sine die. Looks like the deal was cut last night and no ESAs, which makes the Republicans, especially in the Senate, look, I don't know, not good.
I'm really, really concerned about how they're going to fix the hole in the budget, because they also vetoed the medical or the recreational marijuana tax.
That actually has gone through now.
Oh, has that gone through?
Late last night. Yeah,
I haven't had a rundown from any of my friends.
The capital plan, marijuana tax, all went through.
But marijuana tax is going to go to the rainy day fund and not the DSA. And they're plugging the hole in the distributive school account with the money that was going to go to the education savings account. So they're shuffling money around.
Yeah, because the education budget.
That's
was
the way it always.
Closed.
There's always things like that at the end of any session. You asked me what my opinion of this session is, and my opinion is it's a lightweight session, and I haven't spent a great deal of time down there, but I have talked to a lot of my friends who have I lobbied with for years, and their sense is that most of the legislation that passed is fluff, that there's not anything that will be a significant impact in the state. Like last session when the education bills went through, the previous session when the economic development things went through, that this session, it's mostly light fluff stuff. So one of the things that really has been very interesting is a bill that I believe was requested by the city of Reno and was carried by Amber Joyner, and that is a parks bill and parks and open space bill that would allow the city's statewide, any municipality, so it's not just the cities, it's any municipality statewide, to form what is essentially a general improvement district for the purposes of parks and open spaces. That would be another elected body. So let's say Reno did that. So within the footprint of the city of Reno, you'd have the Reno City Council. Then you'd have the Parks GID elected body that has no responsibility to the Reno City Council. That new GID could pass taxes without a vote of the people. Taxes to pay for park funding. I have some concerns about that. My sense is that is taxation without representation. Because when the bill was first introduced, for instance, it had some language that would have allowed the entity who was introducing this. So let's say it was the city of Reno. If the parks that they were included, or the open spaces they were included, abutted up to another political entity like the county or the city of Reno or Story County or, you know, whatever else, you could tax those people because it would be to their benefit. It would benefit them if the park that they were being protected or the open spaces that was being protected were across the street or nearby. So we got that. The county was very successful in getting a lot of the really ugly language that we found in that bill out.
Okay, I got to go back to this. Do you think that the Washoe County Commission needs to have a stronger hand in dealing with the sheriff from going forward from here?
Yes, I think the Washoe County Commission needs to be much more like the Clark County Commission, and it needs to really be the government in the north that has the concern, because it's the regional government. It has regionally responsibility for people, whether they live in the city or outside of the city. It regionally is responsible for all of the health care issues, all of the, you know, social programs. Our tax dollars pay for the jail. No other entity pays for the jail other than the feds. They do pay, but no other political entity pays for it. I think the county commission needs to have more authority and more oversight over growth in this community.
And the jail, too?
And the jail. I think if you had one political entity, much like you do in Clark County, where the Clark County commission really has more oversight, you see Clark County functioning on a much less negative infighting than you do in the north. There's a lot more infighting in the north, and that largely is because all governments hold an equal position in the north.
And also, the majority of people who are on the Clark County Commission are Democrats. In fact, I don't think there's any Republicans on there.
Well, the majority of the people who are on the Washoe County Commission are Republicans. We have one Democrat. She's our former chairman from last year. And it's not that's not an issue for us. It is not because we are R&D. It is because all elected governments in Washoe County hold the same position. There isn't, so of course you're going to say, well, you know, I want my fire to do such and such. I want my police to do such and such. And if you try to work as a region, you always have Sparks, who's off on the side, who wants to do their own thing. They're going to be Sparks. They don't want to be part of Reno and Washoe County. If you want to do something with Reno, you always have to worry about Reno wants to have the power. Reno wants to be the big dog on the street. And that's a problem. And if we had a much more controlled commission, where the commission could say, from a regional perspective, we all need to work together, and so let's do this. Let's move in this direction. And how does that work for everybody? That's what happens in Clark County, and if we had that in Northern Nevada, you'd see a lot better growth, a lot less concern about all the growth we're going to see.
All right, so calling Justice Hardesty, your services are needed once again. We'll be right back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler.
Marsha, there's a move afoot to for the RSCVA to sell Wild Creek Golf Course to the Washoe County School District for a place to build a new high school. This touches on every government entity in Washoe County. What do you think of this move?
Well, technically, it wouldn't be RSCVA selling it. Technically, the county owns the land underneath it. The land was deeded to the county, and so the county owns the land. The RSCVA just runs the golf course.
Okay.
And the golf course loses money. It loses significant money every year, and it has for many, many, many years. We need a new high school. We need to replace Hug because Hug is an older school and we need a new high school. That is a perfect location for it. I am very supportive of this whole plan. It would still leave a 9-hole golf course, and we've talked about the possibility of dedicating that 9-hole golf course to First Tee so that it'd be open. Everybody could play it. The money that we would get from the school district when they purchase it, we would reinvest back into putting a new clubhouse in and doing all that kind of stuff. But the First Tee, which is such a good program for children, especially underprivileged children, First Tee doesn't have a home of its own. This would be a perfect place to designate as a First Tee golf course, and then it would still be open to the public. And I know a lot of people who play that golf course. You know, we went through this on the Washoe County golf course and all the issues we had last year on that. And I'm a golfer myself, and I've played Wild Creek, and I love it. It's a nice course. But the fact of the matter is, there are some things that are more important. This proposed facility would not only have a new high school, but it would have an arena where we could do perhaps football practice in the summertime.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Things
here.
Like that.
I may be wrong on this, but wasn't that land originally owned by Joe Conforti?
And part of it was Joe Conforti's. It was originally owned by Caperles, I believe. I believe Caperles farmed it years and years ago.
Okay, but wasn't, and I could be wrong about this. I probably am. But my understanding was that if it was used for anything but a golf course, that land would actually revert back to Joe Conforti.
Well, my understanding is there was, before any of this came forward, there was an extensive investigation done into all of that. Because, you know, a lot of the land that was deeded to the county does, in fact, have deed restrictions on it. So, for instance, Rancho San Rafael has deed restrictions, and some of the other parks have, but deed restrictions. My understanding is there is a deed restriction on Washoe Golf Course. It must remain a golf course. It cannot be sold. There's not one here. And I specifically said to our staff, please go check that. They came back and showed me that there is no deed restriction.
Marsha Birkbigler, come back soon, will you?
Thank you.
We have a lot more questions.
All right.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
After the elimination of solar net metering in 2015, more than 2,000 workers were forced to find solar installation jobs in other states. Now, we have a chance to help put Nevadans back to work. Assembly Bill 405 would send a signal that Nevada is open for business. Don't let the clock run out on solar jobs. Visit yesonfouroughfive.com. Paid for by the Alliance for Solar Choice.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
On our next broadcast, Fred Locken from Truckee Meadows Community College takes a look at the session.